We get it underway this afternoon by talking a little football. Patriots last night had their opening preseason game as they took on the Houston Texans and came up short by a score of 20-9 in the opener last night. With more on that, we're happy to be joined by our friend Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Well, Christopher, last night, interesting opening playoff game for the Patriots. One of the first questions, preseason game, one of the first questions I was going to ask you before last night's game was, do they have enough offensive line depth? Well, I guess we know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's correct. Your supposition is a correct one. They are awful thin along the offensive line, and I think that they have a better idea today, Friday, as to who can play and maybe who can't necessarily play, at least when you're talking about a starting role or at least taking significant snaps. They really ran pretty much the entire night without a starting offensive line guy. They expect to be a starting offensive lineman on this 2023 team. I like where they are if everyone is healthy. There are some questions about right tackle, whether it's going to be Riley Reiff or Connor McDermott, or if Calvin Anderson can, get off the NFI list. He might have a shot there as well. But the rest of it, I think, is okay. If you can get Trent Brown healthy, if you can get Cole Strange healthy, if David Andrews and Michael Wenyu can play, those are four pretty good offensive linemen, and you need a fifth one over there at right tackle. But, that's the $64,000 question at this point. I think this offense can be okay if they get five offensive linemen who can work together. But the question is right now, can they get them all healthy at the same time?
No quarterback controversy this year, at least as yet. But Bailey Zappe last night looked okay. He managed well. Nothing that's going to change the depth chart any.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I'm of the opinion right now, Rich, that Bailey Zappe can't win the job. Mac Jones can only lose it. Mm. That's to say, look, if Mac comes out at some point in the preseason and just as absolutely abysmal over an extended period of time, or he gets hurt or something else relatively unforeseen happens, it's going to be his job going into week one. The only question is, and I think we're going to get to this down the road, is, can you think about Malik Cunningham playing some sort of backup role, whether he supplants Trace McSorley in the third spot, or they can use him, a series of packages as a bit of a changeup back there. So he's a really intriguing piece of the puzzle. But yeah, ultimately to your question, I think it's there's no doubt right now it's Mac Jones's team.
Well, Cunningham looked good when he was in there last night. It was fun to see, but realistically, is he maybe a 53rd guy?
Exactly, spot on there. I think he is as good a 53rd man on the roster as you could hope for. He plays quarterback. He can play some emergency quarterback. He can also serve as a scout team quarterback when you're facing dual threat guys like Jalen Hurts. He's also, obviously working on playing some wide receiver. He's got some time on special teams as a gunner in camp. And so when you have a guy who can do multiple things like that, he's awful valuable. And so, yeah, I think if you're looking for a 52nd, 53rd guy on the roster, I think he's your guy.
We're talking with Christopher Price here on Downtown. Weren't many offensive highlights last night, but as you pointed out, it was good to see that touchdown from Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, it really was. And this is a guy who was, really needed that kind of moment to give himself a little bit of boost when it comes to, what is becoming a crowded receiver room. Made a nice connection with Bailey Zappe, was able to high point the ball, was able to kind of fight for the ball and come down with it. So it's a good sign for him, and he needs to continue to build on that moving forward if he wants to have any shot at being a part of this team. Because the back end of that roster, like we kind of referenced before, when you think about maybe Malik Cunningham being a part of that conversation, DeMario Douglas, who's had an excellent summer, in that conversation as well. And then, obviously you have Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster. It's just there's a lot of moving pieces back there. There's going to be a lot of jockeying for that fifth or sixth wide receiver spot. I think he handled himself pretty well last night.
Do they have anybody, though, that can go vertical and stretch the defense?
Yeah, that's what Tyquan Thornton can bring you when he's healthy, when he's right. He has terrific straight-line speed. The other guy who might be able to do that, although we just haven't seen a whole lot of him to this point, at least in game action, he's done very well in practice, but we haven't seen him do this in game action, is DeMario Douglas, who I believe was 4-4 at the at the combine. And the thing that separates Douglas, though, is not so much the great straight line speed, the ability to take the top off the defense, but his short area quickness. You know, we've talked before about guys who've excelled in the three-cone drill. His three-cone drill was just about 7 seconds flat. And so he's the kind of guy who I like to say can get open at a phone. And they need that kind of guy who can get separation. So, you know, he can get it long distance. He can be a guy who can be a bit of a home run hitter, I think. But he's also a guy who can, you know, in baseball parlance, can maybe hit you some singles and doubles as well.
Who's the most likely candidate right now, and are they even in camp, to be the guy behind Ramondre Stevenson?
That's a great question, because the two youngsters last night, I think, did not equip themselves well, maybe as well as they had hoped. And some of that you can blame on, you know, the poor offensive line, that, you know, the backups that they were running behind. But, yeah, I think that there's a real possibility that that guy is not in camp yet. I know for a fact that Zeke Elliott, I spoke with someone close to Zeke the other day, they're in a holding pattern right now. Leonard Fournette's in a holding pattern right now, and Dalvin Cook is still out there somewhere. I happen to think that of those three guys, Leonard Fournette is probably your best fit, at least financially, scheme-wise, clubhouse-wise. You know, he kind of checks a lot of the boxes. There's a reason that Bill brought him in here last year when he was a free agent, so I know that he likes him. I know that they've talked about it before, but we'll see with that entire group when it comes to who is going to be backing up Ramondre Stevenson this year.
Defensively, impressive performance from Keon White last night.
Yeah, it was too. And it was funny. A lot of people, their first connection with Keon White up here was kind of that draft day look where he was didn't look all that thrilled about being taken by the Patriots. But he's just that kind of guy. He's all business. It was funny last night. I asked Jalen Mills about him, and he said he's very quiet, very businesslike, just goes about, does his job, does what he needs to do. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see what sort of role he has on this team once Trey Flowers gets up to speed, because there is a little bit of positional redundancy there when you're talking about the defensive end spot. But he certainly acquitted himself very well last night, and he's earned the right to get a few more snaps, I think.
Yeah, how do you see this D-line shaking out, Chris?
Yeah, I think Barmore, Guy, and then Judon, and Uche is more of a kind of a hybrid, kind of a, you know, outside linebacker, edge rusher presence. But those three guys are going to be the focus, at least when you talk about the defensive line, when you talk about that front seven. You know, you could even extend it a little bit because they're going to be multiple fronts. But Barmore and Guy, you know, I think really it starts with them, and you kind of build out from there. I think if Christian Barmore can be healthy, he can be a dominant player. He's not just great against the run, but he can also offer you a bit of a disruptive presence when it comes to pass rush.
You mentioned Jalen Mills. He looked pretty comfortable back there last night.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting to see Mills too, Rich, because they're kind of figuring things out now in the post-Devin McCourty era as to who's kind of going to be that center fielder. And I think Mills is a great option. Adrian Phillips has taken snaps back there as well. I think you're going to see Kyle Duggar back there a little bit, although I think he's going to spend more time close to the line as kind of an in-the-box guy, more of a strong safety as opposed to a free safety. They're testing a lot of different guys back there in what really was a position of strength for them with McCourty for so many years. I like Mills back there. I like Jabril Peppers back there as well. I think he's going to be one of those really underrated pieces of this defense. He's more of a box guy, a little bit along the lines of Duggar, because he plays with an edge and kind of runs downhill, plays downhill. But it's going to be interesting to see if Mills ends up getting time back there, Phillips ends up getting time back there, or someone else.
And you mentioned Demario Douglas, too. He looked pretty good back there as a return guy. Is that something that could stick?
Yeah, I think he is going to be working in a perfect world. He works in relief of Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones is, to me, the number one return guy, both kicks and punts, and maybe they take a little bit off of his plate if he ends up doing a little bit more offense. He's going to be the slot corner this year. He should be the lead role. He should have the lead role as the slot corner this year, maybe work a little bit on the boundary as well. So maybe he strays a little bit from working as a returner, and then Demario Douglas gets the job. I thought it was very interesting the other day. He's already well-schooled in Patriots lingo because he muffed a punt in practice, and then Troy Brown sent him off to run a lap. And I asked him about that afterward. He's like, yeah, you know, when Troy Brown talks, you know, you better do what he says, because he was pretty good at that for a very long time. So I thought that was a fun little exchange between the two, the level of respect that the rookie had for a guy like Troy.
I yelled your name at my television last night. You can probably guess who I was talking about when I said, that's Christopher Price's guy.
My guy, Tank Dell, right? I loved him. I loved watching him. I have an affinity for those types of players, the Marcus Jones types, you know, going back a few years, Deion Lewis, James White, Darren Sproles, those undersized guys who could find their way through a defense and just, you know, DeMario Douglas has shown himself to be one of those guys, at least in a very small sample size so far as well. But yeah, Tank Dell was dynamite. He was. And I think, you know, he proved, I feel validated. I feel vindicated. You know, after trying to speak the word Tank Dell New England Patriot into existence for so many, you know, for so many weeks throughout the pre-draft process, I feel vindicated based on his performance last night. But that touchdown catch on his backside, that was also fun to watch.
Who do you think we'll see more of in the game with the Packers? Obviously, Mac Jones, if he's got guys out there to block for him.
Yeah, I think that's I honestly think that's at least a part of the conversation. If you can get a couple of those guys healthy, if you can get, say, Trent Brown, and, you know, if David Andrews is going to play, and, you know, you feel good about where Cole Strange is, I think you'd be inclined to run Mac Jones out there a little bit more. But yeah, I also think too, you know, look, Bailey Zappe needs the reps. Trace McSorley obviously needs the reps after last night, and, you know, it'd be fun to see what Malik Cunningham can do. If he can build on that, at least when it comes to game action. So I think if you get the offensive line into some sort of working order, the chances are better that we're going to see Mac Jones play more, obviously, than he did last night.
How much difference is it making so far in camp to have Bill O'Brien there?
Oh, he is. Look, we can talk all the live long day about the arrival of Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Gesicki, any number of guys that they signed or drafted in the offseason. Bill O'Brien is the number one offseason acquisition for this team. He really is. There is a level of confidence. Last night aside, maybe, there's a level of confidence when you talk to the guys on the offensive side of the ball. And look, everyone's kind of tiptoeing around it. They don't want to be disrespectful to the guys who were there last year, too, specifically the guy who was in charge of the offense last year. But there's a feeling that, look, we have a dedicated offensive mind on staff. We not only have a dedicated offensive mind on staff, but we have an offensive line coach, something they didn't have last year. And so those two things, I think, inspire some level of confidence amongst the offensive players on this roster. And again, look, if you can get the offensive line healthy, they love Adrian Clem. They all, you know, they all rave about the work that Adrian Clem does. So if they can get healthy, like I said before, I think this offense has an opportunity. And I think Bill O'Brien is going to be at the head of that parade.
Well, from my perspective, and yes, I'm a little bit biased, but the best addition to the Patriots this year is seeing your byline in the Boston Globe on a regular basis.
That's awful nice here, Rich. I tell you, I grew up reading the paper, and it's just a real kick to be able to open it up every day. I'm a digital guy, obviously, at heart, but, you know, when you open up the newspaper every single day, see your byline in the you know, the pages of the Boston Globe, it's special. It's unique to me as a New England kid who grew up reading the paper. I'm a true believer. I believe in the power of journalism and the ability to see my name in a newspaper that I respected so much as a kid. Being a key part of things now, it's a real kick.
Well, if you haven't been reading Christopher's work, make sure you do it at the Boston Globe, globe.com. If you haven't read his wonderful book on the Hartford Whalers Bleeding Green, do yourself a favor and get your hands on that. Christopher, great to talk with you. As always, look forward to checking in with you throughout the season.
My pleasure, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.